Hello. In this podcast, we will be discussing subjects that may not be suitable for all ages.
Including, but not limited to, language, discussion of violence, sexual violence, and nudity.
Wait, this is a podcast. They can't even see the nudity if it's even in the movie.
Oh, okay, that's a good point. So Nick's the last thing. The other things are still...
still there.
Still relevant.
Violence.
So, basically, no kids and grandma. Don't listen.
Don't listen. But anyway, enjoy. We're back.
So Nightmare on Elm Street has taken the lead. But, you know, the jokes...
thanks, guys.
The joke's on you, McCall, because these are all good movies.
Yes.
And I love all of them.
I chose all of them from your list of movies.
Hello.
Well, I'm just saying. I chose all of them except for Sleepaway Camp. You forced that one on the list.
Well, yeah, because Sleepaway Camp is iconic.
All right. Hashtag iconic. Just kidding. I've never made that hashtag.
I also think that... you never did. I also think that Scary Flicks stopped their contest
because physically beat them down.
They would never post Sleepaway Camp.
They're like, please, this guy needs to stop.
Canada, stop.
Stop, please. Okay. So, are you ready for mine?
Yes.
My hard hitter?
Yes.
My crazy one that I talked about last week as well?
Okay.
I'm doing Chambonet again. Just kidding. No.
I was like, what?
More?
It's like me talking about Sleepaway Camp again. Oh, I should talk about Sleepaway Camp 2.
No, we already did it.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did.
We didn't do Sleepaway Camp 2.
Oh, okay. Fair.
Sleepaway Camp 3 is better. Oh. I didn't like Sleepaway Camp 2 as much as Sleepaway Camp 3. And both of them pale in comparison to Sleepaway Camp 1.
Okay.
People will fight me on that. People will say that Sleepaway Camp 3 is superior.
Why?
I don't know. I like the original.
All right. Well, I'm doing Kaylee Anthony's murder.
Oh, okay.
Yay! I mean, aww.
What?
It's sad.
Yeah.
I said yay, and I didn't mean it like, oh, yay, a kid died. Like, yay as in it's a big one. I don't know. I'm sorry. It's so hard to talk about.
Murder
and not make it super inappropriate.
Okay.
But anyway, I'm going to do it. I got my information from, there was a CNN article I read. There was a Today Show clip on the Casey Anthony case, and she had like a actual interview in it.
The case E. Anthony.
The case of. Anyway.
E. Anthony.
Anthony. I got... there was like this Crime Watch interview with her parents after the whole thing.
Did you get anything with Nancy Grace?
No.
Then this is irrelevant.
I probably should have, actually. Yeah. That would have been really great. And then I got something from this podcast called Conspired. They had like a really good, I feel like it was a three-parter, or at least a two-parter, where they just talked about it so in-depth, and I was like, give me all the information!
People can barely put up with us for a one-parter.
They were really good.
One of my friends is like, oh yeah, I listen to podcasts. He's like, but your episodes are too long.
Bitch.
And I'm like, you're right.
Yeah.
But it's like, but we cover a whole movie and a whole murder. Like.
A whole murder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, that's where I got my information. And obviously Wikipedia. So, I'm going off of saying, this is the murder of Kaylee Anthony, instead of saying this is the case of Casey Anthony, because I'm trying to like be more victim central instead of murderer central.
Is she convicted?
She's not convicted.
Well, then you can't say it's a murder.
So whatever, this is all alleged.
There we go.
So Kaylee Anthony was born in August 9th, 2005 in Orlando, Florida. Her mom was Casey Anthony. It's really hard, I don't know why, for me to say Casey and Kaylee like they're different people. Because they feel like...
sounds similar.
They're so similar, right? So I always want to say Casey and Casey. Casey and Kaylee. So Casey...
Casey and Basie.
Casey and Basie. So, okay. So Kaylee had Casey... no. Fuck.
Holy shit.
Casey...
this is going great.
God damn
it. This is going great so far. I'm just impressed that you were able to keep all the characters in my story correct.
I did really good. So, Casey had Kaylee when she was around 18 years old, and she basically, like, didn't tell anybody for, like, a super scary long time. Like, she was...
that she was pregnant or that she had a kid?
That she was pregnant. She didn't tell her parents until she was like 7 months pregnant.
So she was like, just been eating good.
Just, yeah, I don't know. Some people don't show. Slash, there is that show, I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant, which is a treasure.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so she didn't tell anybody. And then finally she goes to the doctor. Oh, wait, okay. She didn't go to the doctor until she was 7 months pregnant. But I don't know when she told her parents. Probably way too long. But anyway, she told her parents, like, oopsies. And her parents like, who's the father? And she's like, probably this guy. And they were like, okay. And then they found out it wasn't that guy. They did a
DNA test.
DNA test.
Paternity test.
And then they were like, oh, it wasn't that guy. Which actually is kind of sad because the guy who they thought it was like pretty pumped to have a kid. And he was like all about it. And then he found out it wasn't him and he was like, oh, I guess I'll leave then. So that's awkward. And so they never really found out who it was. So Casey was like, I'm going to give her up for adoption. And the mom, Cindy, was like, no, I want a kid. So keep her.
But she's 18.
So yeah.
She's not fit to be a parent.
Casey was known to be a partier. And
who wasn't at 18?
I mean, yeah, I get it. But anyway, and she was
Which
also
why
known.
Why she probably shouldn't have had a kid.
She was also known to be a super terrifying liar.
Pathological?
Like, she just would lie about
shit. Well, I
mean,
she lied about being pregnant for 7 months.
Yeah. So, but her mom convinced her.
Just picture her parents be like, are you sure you're not pregnant? Yeah. It's just like.
She's just 9 months. Like,
yeah.
So her mom convinced her to keep Kaylee, and they're like, we'll keep you. You guys will live with us. We'll help out. It'll be fine. So the maternal grandparents are George and Cindy Anthony. Kaylee is, you know, raising them. She lives with them and she has a job, and she has a nanny for Kaylee and nanny. And one day she's like, hey, I got a job thing. I gotta go to Jacksonville, to Tampa. I'm taking Kaylee. Bye. I'm gonna be gone for a bit. And the grandparents like, okay, bye. See you later. And like a week goes by and Cindy, the grandma's like, hey, where are you? Are you coming home anytime soon? Can I see my granddaughter? And Casey's like, I'm having car trouble. I'm not gonna come home for a bit. There's like a guy involved at one point that she made up completely. And she's gone. She said she was gonna be gone for like a week. The grandparents didn't see her or Kaylee for 31 days. And
I think any parent would be a little like concerned.
Stressed. So Cindy, the grandma, keeps calling her. Like, where the fuck are you? What's going on? And then on July 13th, 2008, the couple, Cindy and George, were doing yard work, and they get a letter from the post office saying, like, one of their cars is in, what's it called, when you get your car towed? A lot?
Like, it's been impounded?
It's been impounded, basically, and they're like, that's fucking weird. So they go pick it up, and it's Casey's car. And George is like, ugh. So then they open up the car, and George is like, it smells like there was a dead body in there. And they go open up the trunk and it's full of garbage. And they're like, okay. So they clean out the garbage or whatever. But they're like, but that is distinct dead body smell. But anyway, he drives it home and they're now worried because Casey said she was having car troubles. But now they have her car and she hasn't had it for a really long time.
Clearly, because of all the garbage.
And they still don't know where she fucking is. And they still haven't seen Kaylee. So, finally, Cindy tracks down Casey and is like, where the fuck?
When you say tracks down, you mean she, like, literally physically finds her?
She physically finds her. So, I can't remember. The Conspired episode does a really great in-depth job of, like, the grandma texted a friend who then brought her here, who then went over here. So, basically,
I don't have my beanbag at like that. I usually have.
Uncomfortable.
And I know I'm like trying. I'm trying so desperately to get comfortable.
I am severely just sitting uncomfortably. Basically, Casey. Fuck.
God damn it.
God damn it. Casey never went. Who the fuck's Alex? Casey never went.
That was, I'm sorry, really quick. That was so great. Just at the end of that episode, just, wait, who the fuck is Alex? Anyway, sorry, go on.
Yes. Okay. Casey never went to Tampa. She was never in Tampa. She was hanging out with a boy. She was, like, living in his apartment basically this whole time. And the grandma tracks her down and finds her at this boy's house. I did not write down his name because I'm not a thorough investigator. And
it's not my job.
That's not my job. This is for fun. But basically,
once I start getting paid, then you can get, yeah, expect me to remember shit.
Pay us or follow us or whatever. Write a comment on our iTunes. It's fine. Anyway, so Cindy walks in the door to find Casey.
You are so bothered.
Whatever.
Maybe we should be more dedicated because then maybe we'd get those things.
Whatever. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's one of those things where it's like maybe one thing comes before the other. Mm-hmm. Maybe dedication and like really honing our craft will create more people.
This is a craft. So good.
My favorite murder probably would say that it is.
It is a craft. I send them so many emails. I'm insane.
What the fuck? Oh my god. Are you even sending them like from our personal, like from our Living Vicarious or from your purse? Oh my god, they think we're insane. My Favorite Murder, if you've ever listened to us, I did not know McCall was doing this shit.
They don't. It's okay. Their intern does. It's fine. Anyway, so
their intern, who you now have a personal relationship with.
Jay is like, please stop.
Is that their name?
I'm pretty sure his name's Jay.
Jay is like, please stop.
I can't handle it. Cindy walks in. This is, we went on a tangent.
Yeah.
Cindy walks into this boyfriend's house and she immediately smells weed. And she's like, so Kaylee's not fucking here. There's no way that you're letting your daughter, who's two.
She likes dank kush.
And she loves weed. So Cindy is like, take me to Kaylee right now. You drive me to her. Casey's like, she's with the nanny. She's with the nanny. It's fine. And Cindy's like, drive me to the nanny right now. I'm picking her the fuck up. And so Casey gets her in their car, is driving around. She's like, oh, I got turned around. She goes down a different street and then kind of flips around and then is like, oh, I think they're over here. And then finally she's just like, I don't know where she is. The nanny, whose name is, I wrote it down somewhere. They call her Zanny.
Zanny.
Yeah, her.
It's, that sounds like somebody was like, what's the nanny's name? Zanny, the nanny.
It sounds like a liar would make that up.
Exactly.
Her name is Zendaya Fernandez Gonzalez. I think that's how you say her name. But they call her Zanny. And she's like, Zanny the nanny. That sounds so fake. Zanny the nanny took Kaylee. And when I went to go pick her up the next time, she said, I can't have her back. She's keeping her. And I've been trying.
Hold up.
Yeah.
Are people already lighting off fireworks? Oh, it's yeah. Not the 4th of July.
Yeah, I already heard fireworks.
Oh, my begod. Anyway, go on.
My begod.
Oh, she's slurping.
I gotta take a thick sip. I love that. Anyway. So.
Oh, I thought you actually spit on me, but it was just sweat.
Oh. Why would you do this?
But why?
So she's like, oh, the nanny just kidnapped my daughter.
And I've just been hanging out.
I didn't tell the police because I thought I could handle this. And I thought I could get her back on my own. And I didn't tell you guys because I didn't want to freak you out. This is totally fine. This is that dog sitting in on firehouse like, this is fine.
This is just...
This is what a parent would do.
So, like, you gotta know that your child is a pathological liar, right?
They know. There's been other instances of her doing insane shit. So I'm not really sure how much they believed her at this point. I'm sure that they wanted to believe her because
she's their daughter.
She's their daughter and that's their granddaughter. And their fate is kind of in her hands. So
her very incapable hands.
So basically, Casey.
I said uncapable. I meant
incapable.
Incapable.
Mm-hmm. Casey's like, I've been looking for her this whole 31 days.
Yeah, in this dank, cush apartment.
She's been found at many different clubs. She was in a hot body contest at one point during this 31-day stint. She met up with that guy and has been living at his apartment. And she got a tattoo on, like, her, like, this shoulder. Left shoulder, kind of in the back.
Audience, you can't see this, but McCall just flipped, like...
I had to do the right and left thing.
She still doesn't know her right from her left.
Just checking. I know the right from the left. I just have to put my fingers up.
Just so like you this. Don't know.
Fuck you.
That was good. That was a good one.
Yeah, fuck off. Anyway. So the tattoo says Bella Vita on her shoulder, which means like beautiful life.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you're looking for your daughter, who's now missing... That'd be a really weird tattoo to get in that time pan. Whatever, it's fine. So Cindy flips her shit and calls 911 and is like, there's a girl missing. She's been gone for 31 days. And the lady on the line's like, how long? Ma'am.
It's like normally it's 24 hours to report a missing person's case.
Why didn't you say something before? And
is
she's
it 24
like,
or 48?
It's 24.
24.
Well,
24?
You have to wait 48 hours for the police to, like, do anything.
That's what I meant.
But the first 24 hours are the most important. Like, if you're missing for more than that, you're probably dead. So.
Then that's a catch-22.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like.
But anyway, Cindy, at one point, when she's on the 911 call, says, when she's talking about Casey's car, she says, it smells like there's been a damn dead body in that car. Nah, I said that wrong. There's been a dead body in the damn car. I'm trying to do an exact quote. Anyway, the police...
But they cleared out all the garbage, right?
They cleared out the garbage, but, like, garbage smells different than dead body smell.
I mean, I have been fortunate enough to not smell dead body. Like, dead decomposing body.
I don't want to sound weird.
But you have smelled dead
No.
You found a dead body?
No. Found a dead. Did I ever tell
you about
what?
The time I found a dead body?
No, I'm just saying.
I thought it was a mannequin.
I want to know what that smell is. Not okay. Don't look at me like that. Not like I want to like. Okay, a little bit.
You're gonna
anyway,
like Doberman this.
I just want to know what the smell is. So later, if it's important, I will know the dead body. I'm probably gonna cut this out. Fuck you.
No, it's fine. I'm loving you ranting right now.
I just want to know what. Because everyone's like, that smell, it's something you'll never forget. I want to know what the fuck that means. Is it going to scar me for life? Am I going to have nightmares? I want to know. Anyway, this sounds bad. You're looking at me.
Well, it's like, why would you want that?
Why would
you draw that?
Why would you draw that? I just want to know. Anyway.
I just want to know.
It's cool. So, the police come and they question everybody ever. And Casey sticks to her story. She's like... The nanny, Zanny.
Zanny the nanny. That's why she stuck to it, because it was easy to remember.
This woman actually fucking exists. Her name is Zendaya Fernandez Gonzalez.
Oh, I thought that it was a fake
name. She lived in the area, and she was a fucking nanny. And her business kind of got fucked over, because now her name is connected to this case. People don't want to bring their kids to the nanny that's maybe kidnapped Kaylee Anthony. So started a libel case on this as well.
Well, I would.
I
like,
get
that's
it.
Defamation of character.
Oh, I get it. So, Casey is now like, well, I work for Universal Studios. She's been telling her parents she worked for Universal Studios for like years. Like years and years when she's living.
And
with
Universal
them.
Studios is like, what the fuck?
Well, the police are like, okay, cool, take us there. Take us to Universal Studios. Show us your workplace. And she takes them there. Like
introduce
a
us to your manager.
Sociopath. So July 16th, 2008.
She walks in and she's like, hey, Carl.
Hey, guy. Hey, you.
There you are.
She like literally walks in and she's like, we'll go to my office. It's down this hallway. Oh, I'm sorry. I got turned around.
I like your, like, that animation.
Oh, whatever. Like, yeah, you just swipe your hand across your forehead like you're kind of
exhausted. You did more
your
eyes. You're like, oh, I'm sorry. It's like, it's that way.
Oh, it's over here. And so she, like, goes down a different hallway. She takes the police on another wild goose chase just like she took Cindy. And then she just stops in the middle of the hallway and she's like, I actually don't work here. I was fired 5 years ago.
Oh my God.
And I have been lying to my parents this whole fucking time, saying I work for Universal Studios when I got fired. And the police are like, okay. Like, you're not, like, you're not subject number one for this investigation. So she was arrested on July 16th. She was charged with false statements to law enforcement, child neglect, and obstruction of a criminal investigation. There is now, like, an APB set out for Kaylee, hopefully alive. They're like, go find her. The community's like, we're on it. And people are looking.
They're like, we on it.
We got this. They're looking around. There's this dude who's a meter maid, and he's like, this is your area. You work this. He's walking around, bebopping. His name is Roy Kronk. And
Kronk?
I picture him doing Kronk's like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Is this guy doing his own theme music?
Just picture him being like, I am so good at my job.
So when he finds the body, I picture him like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he finds a dead body in the woods. And he finds like a trash bag, and he's like, hello, police? I found something weird. In the 911 call I heard him do, he actually says, I'm not saying it's Kaylee Anthony or anything. And the news reporter was like, and it was.
And it was.
It was. So, but in the Wikipedia article, it said he called three fucking times. He called once to the tip line saying, I think I found a dead body. And then he called another time like, I don't think you took me seriously. I'm serious. And then the cops came and they looked around the forest and were like, we don't see anything. Bye, bitch. And then he called a third time like, it's right. I see the skull. God damn it.
Standing in front of it.
So he's like, I found a skull. So I'm looking at, can you please come? And the police are like, fine. So the investigative team finds duct tape hanging from Kaylee's hair. Her skull's there.
Was a skull, like decomposed skin skull.
They find her around.
Like bony bones?
They find her around December, and she's been missing since June. Is when.
So she's pretty decomposed.
She's really decomposed at this point. But they find kind of duct tape hanging from the rest, like the remnants of her hair. And it's basically kind of hanging where her mouth would be. So they're like, someone duct taped her mouth shut. And so she's been, you know, decomposing for months in kind of a swampy area.
She's not doing good.
Animals have pretty much ripped her up, and it's kind of hard to gauge what happened. So they actually don't have a cause of death, because they can't. It's too decomposed.
Insert gif of Cardi B gang. And how motherfucking convenient is that?
Yes. So that actually plays a really big role in the investigation in general, I'd say. So, October 14th, 2008, Casey is indicted by a grand jury on the charges of first-degree murder, aggravated child abuse, aggravated manslaughter of a child, and four counts of providing false information to the police. And she pleads not guilty.
To everything?
Everything. She's like, nah, it's fine. I didn't do that. Those lies, they weren't lies. It's fine.
Now insert that gif of that man going.
I love that.
Just fucking going, excuse me? The eyes just like, what?
So 6 weeks after Kaylee's body was found, I think that's correct. I'm not super sure on the timeline. Some point in here, George, Casey's dad, tries to commit suicide. And he's like, I want to be with Kaylee. The public has been pretty much against the whole family this whole time. I mean, they're mostly against Casey, but the grandparents are also kind of in the...
That's not fair. It's like, yeah. they've been trying to figure this out forever. Like,
apparently he can't get a job during this time period because no one's gonna hire the, like, so he's
the father of a killer.
Yeah, he's having a really
hard
time.
An alleged killer.
He's going through a depression, so he tries to commit suicide. And he doesn't get to do it, but he attempts it. Anyway, so we're at the trial now. A strand of hair was recovered in the trunk of Casey's car that was microscopically similar to a hair taken from Kaylee's hairbrush at the house. And so they're like, trunk?
And they were saying that there were, that smelled like a dead body.
Also, it smelled like a dead body. But, like, so they find a hair in the trunk, and it's the it matches. Friday, October 24th, 2008, they do a forensic report by Arpad Voss of the Oak Ridge National Laboratory, if you want specifics on it. So they kind of do, like, a air sample of the trunk and it, the decomposiness, and they find chemical compounds consistent with decompositional event. So basically
saying that a body was in there.
There was probably a body in there. And they also find chloroform in the trunk. So October 2009, the officials release a bunch of like documents to the public about the investigation. There's also records of, they did like a search of Casey's computer records. And they found...
How to kill baby.
How to kill my child. My name is Casey
Anthony. My name is Casey Anthony.
Anyway, they found 84 searches of the terms chloroform and neck breaking and how to make chloroform. Like a bunch of shit. And they're like, boom, boom, boom. There she is.
Whoops.
But, super bummer town. They find out that there was a flaw in their software. And that is not correct. The term chloroform had actually been just searched once, not 84 times. But she still searched chloroform. Anyway, so the top...
And how to break neck!
How to break neck! The trial took 6 weeks. The prosecution was like, okay, Casey uses chloroform, knocks out baby, puts duct tape over her mouth and her nose, suffocates her, leaves her in the car so she can be free to, you know, enjoy her young adult life. She wants to not have a kid. The defense is like, Kaylee accidentally drowned in the pool on the 16th in 2006.
What pool?
The family has a pool. George and Cindy have a pool. George finds Kaylee.
Okay, I'm sorry. This defense has like an easy time because the body is decomposed enough to the point where there's no way that they could prove that there weren't water in her lungs.
Yep.
Like...
So the defense says George, the grandfather, finds Kaylee in the pool and then convinces Casey that she would go to jail for child neglect if they find out that she let her daughter drown.
So basically the defense can just weave whatever fucking tapestry of a story they want.
They can make up anything, basically. And they said...
Whereas the prosecutor's sitting here like, she...
She probably died did. By her mom. Anyway...
Her compulsive, lying, piece of shit, 18-year-old mother. Like,
well, the defense is like, Casey has a habit of lying and pretending.
A habit. That's a cute way of saying pathological liar.
And saying nothing's wrong because her dad sexually abused her from the age of 8 on. So he convinced her to say this because he has total control over her.
So I'd be like, where's the proof of that?
They didn't now you're have
opening,
any.
I say now you're opening up a whole new can of worms.
They had none. And they also threw the brother under the bus and were like, the brother also made advances to her as well. So, there we go.
What the
fuck? We're just throwing out theories.
To me, I can just picture the defense being like, hey, Casey, do you mind if I just totally destroy every relationship you have with your parents?
In the interview with the parents, the dad was like, the defense took me aside and were like, you have to take the fall for your daughter because we need to, this is our story and you need to take this. And he was like, no, I didn't do it though. But anyway.
I'm sorry. It's like, I love our parents. I would never want them to take the fall for something that I mean, fully 100% did.
Yeah.
Of course, at the same time, I would not be a pathological liar about that. I would have been like, here's what happened. This is real.
I duct tape my daughter's mouth shut.
No, here's the thing. I probably wouldn't even be in that situation in the first place because I don't want to have a kid. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. So, and you can get accidentally pregnant.
I can't.
So you're safe. So, I'm like all fronts.
Use a condom.
Don't fuck women.
Take it up the butt.
Okay, so he thinks they covered up the death. So they question the guy who found the body, and they're like, we think, the defense is like, we think you moved the body to a different location. And Kronk is like, sorry.
He's like,
They also, the defense is like, the investigation by the police wasn't good because the media is branding this as like a child murder. And now the police want it to be a child murder.
Especially Nancy Grace out there, like, pounding for Casey Anthony's blood.
She was. And
where's the body?
They're like, and the child murder is much more interesting than a regular accidental drowning. So the police want it to be a murder. George, the dad, is like, on the stand, and he's like, I didn't molest my goddamn daughter. I did smell human decomposition in the trunk the first time I picked up the car.
Now all I can do is picture Nancy Grace, like, on, like, somewhere else going, blood.
The mom actually recants what she said in the 911 call about the trunk smelling like a dead body. She's like, that's a figure of speech. So I didn't mean it actually smelled like a dead body. I just was saying that. Hmm. Which, I mean,
That sounds like a mom trying to cover up what her daughter did.
A canine unit, the handler of the dog's name was Jason Fogery.
And the dog just kept pointing at Casey.
The dog was like, she did it. It's a German Shepherd, and he did a smell check of the car. And they did find a high alert by the dog for human decomp in the car. But they were like, but that's hearsay because dogs don't know anything. Even though that dog was a good boy and he knew
the best boy.
He knew what he was doing. So, the prosecution calls the medical examiner and she's like, I think it's a homicide based on the fact that I don't know how the victim died and there was duct tape present. That's always a red flag.
That's always a, hey, someone was probably murdered.
Someone probably, yeah. So, the defense brings in their own medical examiner, and they're like, this investigation was shoddy, and just because there was duct tape doesn't mean it was over her mouth, and we don't know anything. And,
it's like, you don't know anything, but everyone else seems to have a good idea.
And later, Cindy, the mom, was like, oh, also, I was the one who searched chloroform. So that wasn't Casey at all.
That sounds like a mom, again, trying to cover up for her daughter.
And the prosecution was like, are you sure? Because your employer has records of you being at work during those times.
Like, are you sure about that one?
And she's like, well, no, I left early, so I was definitely
But you didn't
home.
Clock out?
Yep. But, so, yeah, I mean, that's weird.
I'd be a great lawyer.
Yeah.
Just because I'd be like, I was like, but you still got in the shower?
But you still got in the shower. So... Another woman came forward saying she had an affair with the with George, the grandfather, he told her that
he did it.
It was an accident, and they're trying to cover it up.
Oh my god!
I mean,
I just feel like this defense is just like,
we're just gonna throw shit out of nowhere.
This defense is like the most corrupt and evil. A child is dead.
Yeah, I mean, so okay. July 5th, 2011, the jury finds Casey not guilty on all three counts of murder, aggravated manslaughter, and aggravated child abuse. And they actually do find her guilty for providing false information to law enforcement.
Well, yeah, because she did.
So she's in jail for 3 years, basically. And she'd already been in jail for a little bit, so they took some time off. So she wasn't, I don't know. People lost their shit.
I was actually old enough to remember this going on.
This was a big one.
And I remember people just losing their absolute shit about the fact that this obvious child murder was only getting 3 years.
So George, the dad, has a theory that I think is what happened. I think there was no nanny. Casey wanted to go do her own thing during the day. And this is what I think. This is all alleged.
She used chloroform to put Kaylee to bed.
I think she used chloroform to make her daughter go to sleep. She used too much chloroform and her daughter died. And she was like, fuck. And then she just spent a month trying to, like, get out of it. And then was like, I'll just blame it on the fake nanny I made up. I'll just say this happened instead. They're not fake
nanny. The real nanny who I know lives in this area.
Yeah.
Who I could blame this on.
So, I mean, that's... I don't know. So they did a bunch of interviews with Casey afterward. And here is an actual quote from Casey that I took. They were basically like, people think that you're a horrible person. People really have a low opinion of you. What do you say to that? One of those amazing interviewer questions. And she said, I don't care what anyone thinks of me. I never will. I sleep pretty good at night. And I'm like,
that's pretty...
You sleep good at night? Your two-year-old daughter died on your watch.
It's like, and it's like regardless of... That's sociopathic to me. Because, like, yeah. Regardless of whether or not you killed your daughter...
She's dead.
Don't you have any remorse over the fact that your daughter died while she was on your watch? It's like any sane person, any, like, non-sociopath would be like, I am just racked with guilt that my daughter is dead and I wasn't there to protect her or something. Like, any...
Oh. But she sleeps pretty good at night. So, and in her interview, the guy was like, what do you think happened? And she's like, all I remember was I woke up, my mom came up to say goodbye to me when she went to work. I was with Kaylee, we were in our bed asleep, and when I woke up a couple hours later, she was gone. And that's all I got. And I'm like,
Sounds like this story has changed a couple times.
Yeah. It's changed from the nanny did it.
To her just being gone.
Yep. She just walked away. If that's what happened, why didn't you? Anyway.
Well, that's the other thing is I'm like, how could you people not see this? Like, she's changed her story so many times.
I just, yeah. I mean, she was found not guilty, but in my opinion, I mean. Look at this.
I think.
Look at it.
I think in just about everyone's opinion. Yeah. Oh, and even after she got out of jail, I remember it was another big thing. Like, the day after she got out of jail or something, she was, like, out partying, like, the next day or something like that. Like, sick and fucking twisted.
Let's lighten the mood so we're not all super mad.
I'm mad. Usually I'm sad by the end. I'm mad.
So fucking pissed. She is the cutest little girl, too. Oh,
she's JonBenet, like she's super cute.
Yeah, I'm. Oh,
of course, that wasn't probably the parents.
Maybe I don't know.
I still think because I've been like 2 a.m.ing it.
Yeah,
and it's like I still think what I said before. I think it was a burglary gone wrong. I think somebody did break in. I think JonBenet just happened to go up and get Pineapple, and caught like ran into him like, and so he probably like whacked her on the head to like. Take care of her.
Silence her.
To silence her. Brought her down to the basement. And then realized that he's gotta just, like, she saw him. It's like, maybe it was a burglar who wasn't wearing a mask.
I gotta end it.
And he garroted her. And then left.
I think it was a friend of the family who went in to sexually assault her, did what he wanted to do, and then garroted her and left.
That's a good one, too. Because,
that's what I think.
Well, because... Yeah, because then she would trust him not enough to not, like, scream or something like
just
that.
Just based on the fact that...
That is the thing
with... They knew their way around the house.
Yeah, and that is the thing with the burglary, too, where it's like a burglar... It's like, if I saw a burglar in my house, I'd probably be screaming immediately.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if, like, a family friend was in the house, I'd probably be like, what the hell are you doing
What are
here?
You doing?
Like...
Anyway, we went all the way over to JonBenet. Mm-hmm.
No, that's
sibling
a good theory, too.
Story.
It's your turn. Tell Barbie Feet so that Mom... will not say that we told a bad story.
Yeah. So, okay.
Because all the ones that I've told all of them, Mom said all of my stories are bad.
She didn't say they were bad. She just said they were funny. But okay.
They're not supposed to be funny. They're supposed to be...
sibling stories.
They're supposed to be sibling stories, and they're supposed to, like, lighten the mood.
We just need to lighten the mood from child death. Which isn't hard, because child death is pretty bleak.
Mm-hmm.
So, we were little. All of our, like... extended family was in town for some reason, and all the kids were in the basement.
Well, I think it was just, Colin and Jeff were visiting.
Oh, it was just Colin and Jeff?
And Colin and Jeff were watching us.
They were watching us. We were pretty young.
It was for sure Colin.
I was playing with Barbies at the time.
And I was probably playing with Barbies, too.
Yes. And our parents had just finished the basement. And they got this new fireplace, and it was beautiful and gorgeous. And they're like...
I still remember it. Yeah, I still remember that basement.
I remember that basement. And they're like, you kids go play downstairs. We're going to do our own thing. And Dad comes home, or he goes downstairs.
Remember, like, they did go out or something, and then they came back.
And he comes downstairs to his newly finished basement, and the fireplace has these weird marks all over it. And he is like, what the fuck? Like
they'd, like, gone out for a lunch thing or something.
They went out for lunch. They had just... It was, like...
It was all during, like, the day or, like, evening, and, like, I remember Colin was watching... Or at least the way Dad tells it, Colin was watching us, and so then...
And he took Colin aside and was like, you were in charge. Do you know who did this? And
he's like, do you know what happened?
And Colin's like, no, I don't know. So he's like, you go. You go. I have to deal with my children.
Because it was one of them.
It was one of those fuckers.
Those little bastards.
And so it turned out, I don't remember doing it, but I had...
Well, probably not, because you were like 4 at the time.
The fireplace was on, and I had taken my Barbie, and I had dragged her plastic fucking feet all over the hot fireplace and made just...
And melted her feet.
I melted her fucking toes.
McCall had a thing about Barbie feet.
I like to chew on them and burn them.
Well, and like also, like your all of your Barbies and Polly Pockets were like mutilated. The Polly Pockets
Zeus
were Zeus.
Ate that saying, one. The Polly Our dog ate the arms and legs off one.
Hey, and we still used her.
She sat in a chair and watched the other girls.
No, she didn't. No, she was involved.
I had her in a little beach chair. And
I remember. And we would like, she was always there.
She just hung out. The beach chair moved. Yeah. I assumed there was wheels on it in my childhood brain.
Yeah, we didn't have a wheelchair.
They didn't have like a Polly Pocket wheelchair. What's up with that?
No. But like,
they should.
She was involved. She was never like on the side.
No, but there was no wheelchair for her, which was kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But I tried to make her have fun. Mm-hmm. So
we wanted her to have fun. We wanted her to be included.
It turns out we fixed the fireplace.
Oh, it turned out that Mom was just able to, like, wipe it off.
She reheated the thing and made the rubber melt again, and she wiped it all off. But Dad almost murdered us that day.
Well, also, the other funny part is that Colin, our cousin, will continually tell this story as if Dad laid into him like no other.
You did this!
And was, like, screaming, like...
Who put your name in the goblet of fire?
Basically, yeah, pulling a full Dumbledore and, like, backing him against a wall, like, what did you do? Like...
When Dad actually just said... Did you have anything to do with this?
Do you know anything about what happened here?
Dad was the book, Dumbledore, and Colin remembers the movie, Dumbledore.
Dumbledore, exactly. That is a great way of putting it.
But yeah.
But that was Barbie feet.
So thanks for listening to our episode.
Yes, thank you.
I hope we didn't make you too mad.
Hope you enjoyed our episode.
Follow us.
On everything.
On everything. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr. Send us your sibling stories on Gmail. Because we're running out.
I'm back.
Logan sneezed.
I think they heard.
We're livingvicariously@gmail.com.
And just about everything else. The only thing that's different is Twitter, which is livevicarious.
But other than that.
Fight your Google search. Fight it.
Fight it. It's not vicarious. We were trying to play on words, goddammit. Anyway, do you want to take us out?
Yep.
So we can watch Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yep. I just deep-throated the microphone.
Just deep-throated that shit.